May 1st, 2024, we're in Masechet Bava Kama and Daf Kafhe Amud Bet, four lines before the end of the Amud, two words before the end of the line. And if you recall, the Gemara had until there been talking about one specific Kal Vachomer and then the principles that underlay or did not that Kal Vachomer, the Dayol, the Bamin Hadin, the Hiyot Kenidon. But while the Gemara is talking about Kal Vachomer, again, the Machlok between Rabbi Tarfon and Chachamim with regards to Keren Bershut HaNizak, says the Gemara, let's flesh out, let's go through any and every Kal Vachomer that we may have had, which would challenge all of our assumptions. And in turn, let's point to the Pesukim, which explain why it doesn't work that way. So we're not per se going to be focused on Keren's obligations, but let's, for example, start with the obligations of Shen and Regil. Let's try to understand if there could be a logical deduction pointing in the direction of Shen v'Regil to make them Hayav, not only in Rishut HaNizak, where we know the Torah tells us 100%, but maybe Birshut HaRabim as well. That's what the Gemara will suggest from Kal Vachomer. And we're going to go along that path a little bit, challenging what we seem to know with logic and resolving it with Pesukim. Says the Gemara, there are four lines from the bottom, Uteheh Shen v'Regil Hayav Birshut HaRabim Kal Vachomer. Let's make Shen and Regil, if my animal, in a beneficial way to itself, derech hana'ato causes damage, or derech hilucho, in a regular walking, so to speak, trampling fashion, causes damage. If they're hayav, we know, in Rishut HaNizak, 100%, if they enter onto your property, maybe they should be hayav 100% as well in Rishut HaRabim. How so? Mikal vachomer, here would be the logical deduction. Uma keren, sheberishut HaNizak, eno mishalem ela hatzi nezek, berishut HaRabim hayevet, shen veregel, sheberishut HaNizak, mishalem nezek, shalem en odin, sheberishut HaRabim hayav. Let's go in the following direction. Keren, we know, is Hayav not only in Rishut HaRabim, but in Rishut HaNizak as well. How much is it Hayav, though? It's only Hayav half. That's the halakha according to the Chachamim. Keren Rishut HaNizak, if my dog enters onto your property and attacks your dog derech with kavanah lehazik in a fashion of damaging, in such a circumstance, it pays half. Well, if it pays half, and Shin and Regel pay 100%. I mean, Shin and Regel, if we're to compare them to Keren, are more severe. Keren half, Shin and Regel 100%. Now let's go into Rishut HaRabim. If in Rishut HaRabim Keren is Hayav, then Shin and Regel should also be Hayav. It's a Kal Vachomer. If I've established from Rishut HaNizak, where my animal goes onto your property, that Shin and Regel is more severe, how did I establish that? 100% versus Keren, which is 50%. Well, then I should follow that severity into Rishut HaRabim. How come you're making it 0% in Rishut HaRabim? Answers the Gemara, we have a pasuk. Don't you know that? Amar Kera, the pasuk already told us, Ubi'er bisteacher velo birshut HaRabim. The pasuk said that the damage of Shen and Regel, we were Doresh, both of those Nizakim from that pasuk, says that they're specifically relevant. Bisteacher, bisteacher means on someone's private property, not in a public area. All right, good enough. Not really, says the Gemara. Mide kule ka amrinan, palga ka amrinan. Do you think, says the Gemara, we were making a claim that Shen and Regel should be hayav kule 100% in Rishut HaRabim? We weren't going that far. Slow down. We were just suggesting that Shen and Regel should be hayav 50% in Rishut HaRabim. Well, what do you mean? Well, it goes as follows. The pasuk says ubi'ir bisteacher, which tells me that the liability of Shin and Regel, listen to the next words, in 100% liability doesn't apply when my animal does it on your property. I understand. Doesn't apply when it's in Rishut HaRabim, in the public area. In a public area, if my animal eats or tramples, I won't be 100% liable. Why not? Pasuk says, Bisteachem. I'm only 100% liable when I'm in Rishut HaNizak. But let's use a Kal Vachomer to obligate me 50%. If Keren, which Birshut HaNizak is Hayav only 50%, Shin and Regel are Hayav 100% on your property, it means Shin and Regel are more severe. Let's bring that now into Rishut HaRabim. Let's say in Rishut HaRabim, Keren is 50%. Shen and Regel, no. Bisteacher means it's 100% liability only on the private property. But 50% liability, you should have even Birshut HaRabim.
Birshut HaRabim, Hayav
What do you mean? Of course. What? Eat your stuff. You have your bushel of goods out in the public area. My animal comes and eats from it. I'm paying to you. It is Rishut HaRabim. You never brought your stuff. You never drove a car in Rishut HaRabim. You never brought your packages through Rishut HaRabim. Always. We're not talking about Hefker. We're talking about in Rishut HaRabim. It's only a question of where it is, not whose it is. Of course it belongs to someone. Answers the Gemara. Amar Kera vehasu et kaspo. Kaspo shel ze velo kaspo shel aher. Says the Gemara, the pasuk seems, if you look at the pasuk together with me, it seems clear by adding that word, kaspo, telling you that the only time you divide and pay 50% is in one circumstance, and one circumstance only, that's called keren. The pasuk says, v'chi gof shor ish et shor re'ehu. Yigof means gore. That's the av that we call keren. Vamet umachru et hashor hahai. Vehasu et kaspo. Pasuk says explicitly, its money or his money we split. The derasha of the Gemara is hatsu et kaspo. Kaspo shel ze velo kaspo shel aher. The only time you're splitting money is in the context of keren, goring. Not kaspo shel aher, not any other situation. So it means that I not only have a pasuk to tell me that 100% liability of shin and regel doesn't apply in Rishut HaRabim, I furthermore have a pasuk that teaches me that I only pay 50% in the context of the av of keren, not in anything else. So again, says the Gemara, Amar Kera, the pasuk teaches me, by keren v'hatsu et kaspo, the derasha is, you split his money, kaspo shel ze, who's his money? The keren money you split, velo kaspo shel aher.
These pasukim, to explain each of the pasukim, don't align in terms of their, I guess, their underlying values of the pasukim. One saying something in the sadeh, another one saying, you just pay half, but they're not related in a sense.
Well, one is in the context of shin and regel establishing where you're paying 100%, and the other is by keren, which is either public or private, and telling you over there and only over there you split.
You're assuming it's establishing 100% in the location as opposed to just saying if you do damage in the location, you're chayav. Whereas if you damage a different location, you're not
high up. That was, again, so you're right. So, our initial assumption until today was it's telling me Shen and Regil is only in that location. Then we said, no, maybe it only means 100% in that location. Wow. That could be. Could be only 100% in Rishut HaNizak when it comes onto your property, but 50% out in the public area. That's a pretty good claim. That was what the Gemara told us at the beginning. Mide kule kamrinan. Palgaka amrinan. I never meant that you're going to pay 100% in Rishut HaRabim for Shin and Regel. I meant that you'll pay 50%. Oh, Bistei Achay is talking about 100%. Now the Gemara says, no, but this concept of half only applies to Keren, not to Regel. That's the Gemara suggestion over here at this line. What's that? Say it again.
Sirorot.
So there's you bring up Sirorot. Sirorot is an interesting question to be addressed over here. We have Halacha Moshe Misinai with regards to Sirorot, that Sirorot pays half. Well, if Sirorot pays half, it seems like Regel, we know. This line in the Gemara, quite the opposite, I would suggest, or maybe it's the same point you're making, whether realizing or not. This concept in the Gemara that Regel is always 100%, of course it's always 100%. If Sirorot, which is the indirect Regel, is 50%, so then it means that Regel is the 100%. How did you have a thought that maybe Regel will be a 50% liability if you know that Sirorot, which is the bump now down, is only 50%? This is a question, if I'm not mistaken, is addressed by Tosafot Rosh, and he suggests that we know about Sirorot, not that it's 50% of the total damage. We know that it's 50% of the total Regel. So if I'm to tell you that Regel Bereshut HaRabim starts off as 50%, maybe Sirorot would then be 50% of 50, meaning a quarter. So you don't have a question from that. But again, the Gemara is standing strong with regards to this matter. Shin and Regel, you wanted to make a Kal Vachomer to make them liable to half in Rishut HaRabim, No. Why not? V'hatzu et kaspo is written by Keren, teaching me only Keren. Says the Gemara, v'lo tehishen v'regel hayevet b'rshut hanizak el hatzi nezek. Let's go in the opposite direction. Let's make shin and regel liable to 50% always. What do you mean 50%? 50% always, both in Rishut Arabim and in Rishut HaNitzak, mi kal vachomer mi keren. Let's go in the following direction, making a kal vachomer from keren. In the opposite way of what we've been thinking until now. Uma keren shebirshut Arabim hayevet birshut HaNitzak ina mishalemet el hatzi nezek. If when it comes to keren, the Torah teaches me it's hayav both in Rishut Arabim as well as in Rishut HaNitzak. Pause for a second. Shin and regel, where is it hayav? Only in Rishut HaNitzak. Wait a second, so it's hayav in Rishut HaNitzak. Which one's the more hamur over here? Keren is hayav both in public and in private. Oh, Keren's more severe. How much are you paying in Keren? 50%. So if that's the more severe one and it's paying 50%, let's now look at Shin and regel and say, Shin and regel, you're only hayav, I know the pasuk tells me, b'stei acher. If it's b'stei acher, that means to tell me that you'll be hayav in Rishut HaNitzak. How much are you going to be hayav? I don't know. I assumed 100%. 100%. That doesn't line up with any of our logic. If keren, which is more severe, is always 50%, well, then maybe shin and regel as well. Even in Rishut HaNitzak should be 50%. Again, says the Gemara, mikal vachomer mikeren, four lines from the top. Uma keren. Keren is liable everywhere. Makes it more severe. We're looking at it like that now. Shebirshut harabim hayevet birshut hanizak ena mishalemet el hatzi nezek. If keren, which is obligated everywhere, even in Rishut HaRabim, that perhaps establishes it as more severe, more hamur than shin and regel. And how much is it liable to? Is the owner who enters into someone else's property and it gores over there? 50%. Well, then, shin v'regel, shin v'rshut harabim petura. If I look at shin and regel, which in v'rshut harabim has zero liability, b'stei acher, en odin shin v'rshut hanizak mishalem hatzi nezek, perhaps I should only be paying half when I have my animal enter into your field and eat or trample from your field. We're doing the opposite of everything we thought we were doing until now. Our kal vachomers were making things more severe. Now we have a suggestion, make things more lenient. Maybe shin and regel should never be hayav 100%, answers the Gemara. Amar kera yeshalem tashlumin me'alya. Tashlumin me'aliyah. That says the Gemara, the pasuk says, with regards to shin and regel, that same pasuk of ubi'ir b'stei acher, the pasuk says that the be'alim yeshalem. Metav sadehu umetav karmo yeshalem. Yeshalem means he should pay. When I say to you, you have to pay up. Well, what's the very clear assumption? You pay up full amount. There's no such thing as paying up when you're paying half. If you need to pay half, I tell you, pay half. Yeshalim, says the Gemara, makes clear to us, tashlumin me'alya. Me'alya means the highest value. You're paying the highest value and the full value. It's very clear when it comes to shen and regel, when you're liable entirely. That's birshut hanizak 100%. What we're going to end up with at every juncture pretty much of this Gemara is where we began, baseline. It's all the halachot we, to a certain extent, were familiar with until now, we're going to end with, we're just doing all the background mechanics. We're doing all the fine print in this sugya. Why is it not like this? Oh, it's that pasuk. Why is it not like that? Logically speaking, that pasuk. That's what I told you at the beginning we were going to be doing this. That's what we're going to be doing a lot of the way through here. It's less difficult than the last sugya because the last sugya was out of left field. We were dealing with tahorot and things of that fashion. Over here, at least it's household concepts to us at this point. But with regards to the reality, we even know the reality. We just have to flesh out how it adds up. V'lo tehe keren b'rshut harabim hayav. Mikal vachomer, says the Gemara, okay, now that we're playing the game, so to speak, of kal vachomer bumping things down, I suggested that the kal vachomer should take what my preconceived notion of shin and regel being 100% birshut hanizak to 50%, and you knocked it down. What about this one? Let's take keren birshut harabim. Maybe keren birshut harabim should be patur. Maybe keren, which is less liable, therefore, less severe than shen and regel. What do I mean by that? You pay 50% on keren in Rishut HaNitzak, like hachamim. And shen and regel, how much you're paying in Rishut HaNitzak? 100%. If means if I look in Rishut HaNizak for the moment, Shen and Regel are more severe than Keren. Shen and Regel 100%. Keren 50%. Ooh, very nice. Okay, so in Rishut HaNizak, Shen and Regel 100%, Keren 50%. Which one's more lenient? Keren. Now let's look at Rishut HaRabim. Out in the public area, it attacks your bushel, it eats from your thing, it does, tramples your goods out in the public area. How much? Zero. Shen and Regel. Great. How much on Keren? Kal vachomer. If in Rishut HaNizak, Shen and Regel are more severe, and now in Rishut HaRabim it's zero, so Keren should be zero as well. Says the
Gemara. The whole conversation, at the end of Keren.
I said a lot of times, we know all the answers to this already. We need to know how.
If we say Keren at the end of the day, if it's three violations or four.
Maybe it's only in Rishut HaNizak. But maybe it's only in Rishut HaNizak. Maybe all those gorings where you have a 50% life. That's what we're suggesting.
So we're really trying to figure out the shoot.
Mechanics, that's what we're working on right now. The one and all, so that's the question in the Gemara. Look at the Gemara again. Velote Keren Bershut HaRabim. Yeah? In the public area, Hayav. It shouldn't be Hayav at all. Why not a kalvahomer, which is what we call a kalvahomer, lehakel, to be lenient. Umashin v'regel shebereshut hanizak nezek shalem. If shen en regel in public private property, excuse me, is 100% and keren is half. But nonetheless, shen en regel bereshut rabim petura. Again, we already know, we've been working with and assuming with it throughout, that Keren is Hayav, half both Bereshut HaNizak and even Bereshut HaRabim. But how do you know that? Answers the Gemara. How do you know that? And it should be the opposite. We think logically, we could prove otherwise. Answers the Gemara. Amar bi Yohanan, Amar Kera Yehasun. En hatzi nezek haluk, period. Now this is going back to the same pasuk we cited just a moment or two ago, and it goes like this. Listen to how many times the pasuk in a redundant fashion tells us you split it. V'chi yigof shor ish et shor re'ehu v'met. It's talking about keren. U'macheru et ha-shor ha-hay. You sell the living animal. V'hatzu et kaspo. And you split its money. V'gam et ha-met. Yehasun, and as well the carcass you split. Now the Torah didn't need to say that. If you want to tell me that you split everything, say you sell the remaining the live animal and the carcass and split them and pay half and pay up 50%. Why did the pasuk need to say twice Yehasun and Vehasu? The fact that it says Vehasu and then repeats unnecessarily Yehasun is to tell you Keren is Hayav, half, everywhere. Both Bereshut HaNizak, as well as Bereshut HaRabim. That's what these words mean. En Hatzi Nezek Haluk. When I'm dealing with 50% payment, there's no Hiluk, there's no distinction, there's no splitting hairs. You pay it here, you pay it there, you pay it everywhere. Keren is Hayav, 50% everywhere. Learned from Yehasun Vehasu, repetitive in the Pasuk, telling me 50%, 50%, not only in Rishut HaNizak, but in Rishut HaRabim as well. Okay, says the Gemara, excuse me, en hatzi nezek haluk lo bereshut rabim velo bereshut yachid, period. Okay, says the Gemara onward now, v'yehe adam, we're done with for a moment or two animals, let's move to human beings, and let's use logic from animal liabilities to human liabilities. V'yehe adam hayav bekofir mikal vahomer. First and foremost, what is kofir? Secondly, what are we trying to apply? Kofir, the Torah tells us about in Parashat Mishpatim, if an animal kills a human being, lo aleinu, and it's already a shor mu'ad, the halacha is that the animal gets stoned. It would have gotten stoned if we caught it and put it to death after the first, second, or third liability. But once it's done with three times and it's already a shor mu'ad, not only does the animal get put to death, but the owner needs to pay up what's called kofir, a ransom amount. How do you evaluate that? Mahloket, either based on the value of the owner of that animal or the value of the person who passed away. How do you determine that? Separate conversation, but that's the ransom amount. Even the word kofir, it's a mahloke, but it makes it sound like it's kapara, it's somewhat of an atonement. You took someone's life. That's what's called kofir. Now again, the Torah uses this word kofir in the context of an animal who kills. Maybe a human being who kills as well should have to pay kofir. That's the question of the Gemara. Kal vachomer, we're going to have some sort of logical deduction. So let's fill this one out again. A person kills another. Maybe he or she who kill should have to pay kofir. Anyone have a question? We have a principle, generally speaking, called kamle b'drabamine. We usually say that if you're liable for death penalty as a human being, you don't pay money as well. So kofir would seem to be, this question should be slammed back down right away. Kofir of a human being from any kal vachomer, I don't care what kal vachomer, I should say right away, I have pesukim at the end of Parashat Mishpatim, which teach me that kamle, we raise up, we establish for you, b'drabamine, the more severe of penalties. If you killed someone, you're liable for death penalty. Who said it's not betin shelmata?
It's kofir in the terminology you're using of kaparata.
No, it's kapara, which we're exacting from you. It's not on, you know, do it out of the goodness of your heart. We are forcing you to pay the ransom for your soul. That's the way you have to say that. We're in Beti. Okay, I like your logic. Give it a minute. Give it a minute, because Tosafot has such an angle. Without using your words, the same idea. But Rashi first. Rashi, some maybe 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the top. Rashi, v'yehe adam hayav bekofir. Says Rashi, kigon, for example, the case must be, b'mezid v'lo atrube. The case, perhaps, and only, is talking about where the person killed purposefully, without a warning. Deleteh bar kapara, velo bar galut. Says Rashi, because in this situation, the guy has neither death penalty. Why no death penalty? There was no warning. And he's not galut, he doesn't go to Ir Miklat. Why not? Because he was purposeful. The guy is in the perfect, but perfect situation for a murderer. He's stuck in this type of situation where UE in this world can't do anything to him aside from maybe make him liable to some money. He's not going to Ir Miklat. Why not? He did it purposefully. The only way you go to Ir Miklat is if you do a bishogeg. The whole second chapter of Masechet Makot teaches us that. He furthermore is not being put to death because there was no warning. Maybe in that situation, whatever we're about to set forth in the Gemara, the person should have to pay money. That's Rashi's claim. Tosafot's claim, alternatively, is, well, what's the concept of kofir? Along the lines, Jesse's giving some logic to it, but the concept of kofir is, I took someone's life. I took someone's life in addition to my penalty, I have to pay a kofir. In other words, when do we say, kam lebedarabamine? We say you have two liabilities, so to speak. I have because of the murder, and I soiled his clothing. I have the murder, and I broke some glasses in his house, windows in his house as I was shooting. All right, over there, you got the death penalty and not the ancillary effects of what I put forth in this damaging moment. However, over here, there's no such thing of that sort. For the taking of this person's life, lo aleinu. What's your liability? Death penalty. Yes. Maybe kofir as well. The Torah tells you, you need to be atoned for. The Torah tells you, you need to pay for it as well. Tosafot doesn't need to get into this whole thing of Rashi. And it says, v'hacha ayere shaharag v'yishalem kofir kimo hashor. Just in those words, you can read the rest of Tosafot where they get into the derasha of the rabbis elsewhere and they get into the technicalities. But effectively, that line of Tosafot spells it all out for you. Says Tosafot, just like the animal. The animal gets put to death and the owners need the kapara. So too over here, you get him put to death for your deeds and you should need kofir. Now, that's the question, that's the groundwork to this. What's the kal vachomer? After all, as I told you, the only place we find in the Torah kofir is when an animal kills another. Does a person have kofir? Does a person have to pay? As the Gemara, maybe kal vachomer. How so? Umashor, back in the Gemara, she'eno hayav be'arba'a devarim hayav be'kofir. Adam shehayav be'arba'a devarim, eno din sheyehe hayav be'kofir. What a beautiful kal vachomer. Says the Gemara, we know that human beings are more severe than animals with regards to damages. When it comes to damages, animals pay one payment, one determined payment. What is that? How much was damaged? Nothing more and nothing less. That's what we call nezik. Human beings, if I damage the human being, me, myself, it's what we call habala. I punch him, I kick him, I bang into him with my car, whatever I do to him. I don't pay just nezik, I pay that. I also pay four more things. That's what's called arba'a devarim. The Torah spells them all out. What do you pay? Sa'ar for his pain. Shevet, how much work he misses. Ripui, his medical bills. Boshet, how much he became embarrassed because of this damage. Which means to say human beings, damaging human beings is more severe than animals damaging human beings. Animals, one payment, nezik. Human beings, five payments. That's one plus four. Says the Gemara, if human beings are more severe, that you're paying one plus four, it's what we call arba'a devarim, so then I should say kal vachomer. If when an animal kills a person, he has to pay kofir, and an animal, after all, in the context, in a situation of nezik, only has one payment called nezik, human beings, well, they're more severe. They have arba'a devarim plus nezik. They have those four things I just described, plus the damage. Of course they should pay kofir. That's the question in the Gemara. Adam, again, hayav bekofer, human beings should have to pay in addition to losing their life, their estate, or before their death, they should have to pay money as well. We'll evaluate it accordingly. Mikal vachomer, it should be a logical deduction to be more stringent on a person who kills. Umasho she'ino hayav be'arba'a devarim. If an animal which kills doesn't, or even damages, better yet, doesn't pay anything more than nezik, hayav bekofer, has to pay. The owner does when it kills kofir. Adam shehayav be'arba'a devarim eno din sheyeh hayav bekofer. Answers the Gemara, no such thing as kofir by human beings. Well, what are you talking about? Why not? Amar kera, as the pasuk says, kechol asher yushat alav, alav v'lo al ha'adam. There's an extra word in the pasuk. Alav means on him, all that's placed upon him. All that's placed upon who? Well, it's in the context of a person whose animal killed. Upon him, upon the owner who killed, it's what we call a mi'ut. The pasuk in the Torah is telling me with that extra word, of it doesn't just say kechol asher yushat, all that Beit Din places. All that Beit Din places on him, we call that a mi'ut. It's coming to exclude. It's telling me that only animals, not human beings, pay kofir. Says the Gemara, okay, I got it. So now let's go in the opposite direction. It's what we've been doing all day. So now that I've established that, it means that when I'm dealing with an animal, is more severe than a human being. What are you talking about? Yeah, an animal pays kofir when it kills someone. A human being doesn't pay kofir when it kills someone. Why don't we make animals also liable in arba'a devarim? Not only should humans pay sa'ar, shevet, ripuyim, boshet, the damage of pain and medical bills and missing work and embarrassment, let's make an animal as well. How are you learning that? Kal vachomer. If a human being is liable to pay those four extra things, and a human being doesn't pay this concept, this money amount called kofir, an animal who pays kofir is clearly more severe. He should have to pay arba'a devarim, says the Gemara. V'yeheh shor hayav arba'a devarim mikal vachomer. Let's now, again, I told you, this is all the fine print. We usually ignore this fine print, and we just talk about these concepts, assuming we know them already. But the Gemara needs to fill this all out. You need to know, you need to see all the fine print in action just to know, just to have it and just to know it. Whether you're going to remember every detail, you remember enough of it, you'll at the very least remember the bottom line. You'll remember hopefully a lot of these pesukim and concepts that arose over here. Uma adam she'eno hayav bekofer, hayav be'arba'a devarim, shor she'hayav bekofer, eno din she'eh hayav be'arba'a devarim. That's the Gemara's kal vachomer. If an animal which is hayav bekofer, is hayav in kofir, a human being which isn't hayav in kofir, and is hayav in arba'a devarim, an animal as well should be, answers the Gemara. Again, a pasuk, I told you, it's every time we shut down these kal vachomers, logic is nice, but the pasuk overrides it. Amar kera ish ba'amito velo shor ba'amito. The pasuk seems to say clearly that the only time you're paying arba'a devarim, the only time you're paying sa'ar, shevet, ripuy, and boshet, those additional payments, those additives on top of damage, is ish ba'amito. What does the word ish mean? It means a human being. Amito means of his friend or his colleague. A human being who damages a human being pays those four things, not shor ba'amito. Okay, that is most of the kal vachomers that are fit for print for now. The Gemara now has a safik, and this safik, this doubt, well, a little bit more logic to come. But if you look not too long, not too far down the page, we have a Mishnah on the horizon. It says the Gemara, Iba'ya lehu. Iba'ya lehu means no longer do we have these flimsy kalvahomers knocked out quickly from a pasuk. A little bit more depth over here, a little bit more. We're going to have to move things in terms of establishing. But the following was posed in the Beit Midrash as a question. Iba'ya lehu. Regel shedaresa al gabe tinok. Behaser hanizak mahu shetshalem kofir. The Torah, when it teaches us this concept of kofir, of paying that ransom amount for taking someone's soul, is specifically dealing with, when the Torah teaches it to us, an animal which gores a human being. That's what the pasuk says. If an animal gores a human being more than three times, and now I'm killing the fourth time. Chilak, you were supposed to kill this animal already the first three times. You didn't? Okay, finally, kill the animal, and the owners need to pay a ransom amount as well. Okay, that's in the context of, again, goring. What's goring? Kerin. Kavana lehazik. Intent. When an animal gores, we know the intention of the animal is to damage. Does that, should that apply to the other avot nizikin? Let's start with regil. An animal, says the Gemara, lo aleinu, tramples on a baby. That's called regel. And in such a situation, it kills the baby. Does the owner of that animal, who trampled, not gored, have to pay kofir as well or not? By extension, says Tosafot, left-hand side, dibura matchil regel shedaresa, we should apply this question to shin as well. Tosafot writes, hu adin b'shin dehaya. An animal who, lo aleinu, disgusting, eats an animal, eats a human being. It eats a baby. In such a situation, it has kavana, has kavana for hana'a, but it's doing a kid darko, the Gemara could have asked about Shein as well. So this question the Gemara is posing about Regel could have been and is by extension, we usually couple Shein and Regel together. Do you pay kofir for shin and regel, says Tosafot, but don't ask this question by esh or by bor. Why not? Says Tosafot, we've just learned the derasha and the gemara. Who pays kofir? Owner of an animal, not a human being himself. It means that we're only going to talk about kofir when an animal does something. What was the derasha of the Gemara? Alav velo al ha'adam. That was the derasha. So when it comes to eshem, when it comes to bor, there's no brain over there. It's your fire, it's your bor. As a result, that's a human being. Human beings, we already excluded. Human beings who kill don't pay kofir for one reason or another. Okay, back to the question of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Iba'ya lehu. What's the halakha? They weren't certain. Regel shedaresa al gabe tinok. If an animal tramples, an animal by extension, Tosafot, eats a human being, a baby, behaser hanizak, in the property, on the property of the damaged. Of course, you need that for regel and shin. Regel and shin, the Torah already told us, it's bisteacher. It's only when it's on the private property. Mahu, what's the halakha shetishalem kofir? Do they pay kofir or not? We know with regards to damage, they're paying 100%. Do they pay an addition kofir when they killed? Mi amrinan, do we on the one hand say mide dehava akerin? It's similar to Keren, it's just like Keren. Keren, kevan de avad tere utlata zimne orhehu umeshalem kofir. When does Keren pay kofir? Once it established itself as Mu'ad. What's Mu'ad? Three times, fourth time. You established, your animal established itself as Urhe. This is the normal thing it does. First time, second time, even third time, mainstream opinion, you're not paying kofir. Why am I not paying kofir? You took someone's life. You only pay kofir when it's the normal thing of your animal and you should have known better. Should have known better, it's after three times. But animals, with regards to eating, with regards to trampling, we said is orhe, it's the normal way from the beginning. What's my proof? You pay 100% from the beginning. Kofir, so too, we should say when it comes to regel and shin, since it's normal. It's the typical fashion of the animal to trample and to eat, either lahana'a or derech hiluch, regel and shein, so too they should be paying kofir, or dilma, or on the other hand, perhaps we should say, keren kavanato lehazik, hai, en kavanato lehazik. The key and the critical detail with regards to kofir is not with regards to it being normal and typical, but rather what's the intention. When it comes to keren, what's the intention? Lehazik. When it comes to shein, hana'ah. When it comes to regel, halicha, just to walk, just to benefit in shin and regel. Maybe over there there's no kofir. Maybe kofir only applies to keren. What the Torah says in the context of your animal has intention to gore and to damage. That's the safek of the Gemara. So just repeat the safek. We'll read and develop the answer tomorrow. But the safek of the Gemara is once we dealt with many, if not all, of the kalvachomers that could come to our mind with regards to comparing this to that, so on and so forth, we arrived last week. One human being paying kofir, we excluded it from yushat alav velo al ha'adam. You have kofir on an animal owner, not on a human being. Oh, but maybe I should say, nonetheless, I should make a derasha from keren to not a human being, but to my two avot, which are also animals. That's shen and regel. Maybe I should say that kofir is paid not only by keren, but by shen and regel as well. Why would I say otherwise? Because maybe I say it's peculiar, it's specific, it's unique to keren. Why is keren unique? Kavana lehazik, intention to damage, as opposed to shen and regel, have different intentions. Intention to walk, intention to benefit. Maybe that's different. That's the safek of the Gemara. We'll deal with it tomorrow. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.